The following program will make you want to grow things, but not right now. And experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome to Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth practical advice for your garden, plants, and landscaping. And of course, my favorite topic of landscape design. So the season has started. I've been working on a few different landscape plans, and I've got a few more appointments this week. So spring is in the air, despite the temperatures, Gary.
Yes, I want to get out and rake.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to hide the rake.
I know, and that's why I said when I did your disclaimer, your intro there, your promo, I said, we'll make you want to grow things, but not now.
Yes, not right
now.
Don't
get out there. Except, what about bulbs, the things that are already tulips? What's going on with that stuff?
Yeah, our temperature here in southern Ontario is still pretty cool, so especially nighttime temperatures. So the bulbs might be poking up a little bit, but
yeah.
But probably not too much. So all bulbs, all spring flowering bulbs, of course, are planted in the fall.
Right.
So this is the time of year people usually go, oh, yeah, I guess I should have planted some bulbs.
Right. Now, if someone got those in even now, wouldn't grow? Like if you put them in now and then within 2-3 weeks or something, wouldn't see?
No, it doesn't work like that. No? Yeah, you couldn't even really buy them yet. Yeah.
Forget that.
Yeah.
Artificial? Plastic?
Artificial, or sometimes you can buy, if you wanted to do, if you really want to taste a spring at your front door, you can buy them potted,
mm-hmm.
and they're starting to bloom. Like the bulbs have been, the nurseries and the growers have made them grow. And then you can put them in your container or your urn by your front door, maybe with some forsythia, some other greenery that's will handle the cool temperatures. And that'll give you, something.
Honey, are you listening to this?
Or if you wanted to plant those pots into the ground, I guess you could officially do that, but that's something that's already started to grow. So,
very nice.
So that gives you a little taste of spring. But we had a little bit of snow on our little Easter weekend, a little dusting, but I think as we look at the long-range forecast, temperatures are definitely on the upswing.
Very nice. Yeah, I know. It's been a little bit too long.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it, especially now that once the snow melts, then everybody really wants to get out there and start the raking. So we're going to talk about, you just have me tonight. And phone lines are open and emails open. So please, if you have any concerns after this long winter, questions for landscape design, anything, please feel free to email me or at realityradio101@yahoo.com right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or the phone numbers that you mentioned locally at 905-725-1907. And we're here. I'm here. And I'd love to help. So I've come up with some topics, some of the most commonly asked questions at this time of year that I wanted to discuss with you. My favorite, not my necessarily my favorite, but it's the big topic for everybody, including you, Gary, is your lawn. Now that the snow's gone and we are looking at our nicely brown and littered lawns, everybody wants to kind of get out there and start working on them. Plus the media. I mean, that's something to really consider. The media is, you know, those the commercials are started about getting out there and fertilizing and, you know, having the better lawn than your neighbor, all those different things that want you to get going on it. And it is still early. It really is.
Those liars.
Yes. Well, they want to sell their product and they want you to use it up, right? I'm going to start off with my biggest beef is Thursday, I think, in Southern Ontario here in the east end of the city was the first day over 10 degrees. We actually hit double digits. And immediately driving around my neighborhood, you had those kids with those aerating carts, machines, knocking on doors.
Yep.
And it is far too soon. Yes, we should be aerating our lawns, but they need to start growing. Right now, they are so moist, and it's just way too soon. So please politely tell them no thank you. Come back in May. I did have one of my customers that told me that I sent that out actually as a Facebook message, and she said, that's too late. They were here yesterday. So, I mean, you have to think about the weight and what that machine does.
Yeah.
And with the amount of moisture that's still in our soil, it's just tearing it up. It's really, it's not making those nice plugs.
Right.
And it's just, and even the walking on it. I know, remember our guest a few weeks ago, Keith Reed, who is the soil scientist, and he said, you know, the best thing we could do, I think he said, was to be lazy gardeners and not rush out there and stop walking on our gardens and stop walking on our lawns. That was one of his best advice.
It's so hard though, right?
It is,
because
for sure.
You see things and you want to clean up and, you know, just to get out there and get a little fresh air and do a little work, you know, but it's actually damaging to the lawns from everything we've learned.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's enough of the driveway to sweep I know I was cleaning like the edge of my curb there where all the branches were preventing water from going to the catch basin. So I think there's, you know, a little bit of puttering we can do out there, or we can just go for a walk.
That's true.
Yep.
And then come in and have ice cream.
That's right. That's right.
It just defeated the whole purpose.
That's right, of having the walk. So I did want to talk about that. Please wait until your soil has dried out and you start to see the grass growing a little bit. I mean, you look around, everybody's grass is brown. It's just the beginning of April. So really, the purpose of aeration is really to break up that thatch, help those roots get more air, more water, more nutrients. Well, those roots aren't even really getting established or aren't even really awake yet. So really, it's best to hold off. I promise you, despite the commercials and the promotions and the people knocking at your door, May is perfectly fine. It really is. Spring really is May. Remember that April showers brings May flowers.
Right.
So it's, you know, even though we've lost, the temperatures are warmed up and we've gotten rid of the snow. Now, especially I think the forecast calls for a few days of rain in the next few days. So that's going to be good for the grass as well to get everything going. So have I convinced you to put the rake away?
Yeah, you did. it's tough, though. But you know what? I'll use this time to clean out the garage.
Yes. We did that on the Good Friday. Friday was a very nice day. Yep. The morning we did that at home. And you had mentioned about what about all those leaves that are still on the lawn left over from the fall.
That's right.
Well, really, when you think about it, the decomposing of the leaves is feeding the lawn, is actually improving the lawn. You're not. I know there's a misbelief that you're suffocating the grass, that type of thing, but especially with the rain coming up, it's going to help accelerate, and the warmer temperatures are going to help accelerate decomposition on those leaves, and that nutrients are going to go to the grass. So really, I wouldn't be too worried. I think you would do more damage, you know, getting a rake out there and lifting those leaves than to the lawn than you will by leaving them stay put for a couple of more weeks.
All right, so I won't touch the rake.
No touching the rake. Oh my goodness.
Wake, yeah. Bubble wawa.
Yes. So the next thing, there's always the lawn is kind of one of those big time, you know, things over spreading it over time. So definitely you can be a lazy gardener and wait until May. But after your aeration is done in May, and it's funny, too, because if you look at some of the flyers that they bring around and even some of the Facebook posts and different articles, they always show that little aeration machine on a really nice, lush green lawn.
Yep.
Right. They don't show it on our brown, like sad.
Right.
Still sleeping.
Dormant.
Dormant lawn. You know, so really, we need those roots to really get established before we start walking on it with one of those machines.
That's true. And like you said, you know, with Keith Reed here a few weeks ago, if folks listening remember him, it is best to wait until the soil has dried out and grass actually begins to grow. Then it's a good idea to aerate. So, you know, that's kind of the key. And it's hard because folks listening know I'm in the same predicament where you want to get out there and do stuff. And, you know, but... it's better to wait so you don't do more damage than good with early aeration.
Yes, yeah. And after, in addition to aerating, so usually there's the whole issue of top dressing, seeding, and fertilizing. So I was going to touch base on all of those today in the first part of the show.
Great.
So once you've aerated, then is the best. Again, people often wonder about what order of things to do. So really, it's aerating in May. Once the temperatures are up there. The next is to do a light top dressing with a top dressing, you know, soil, not triple mix, not potting soil, not anything that you've got left over from the garden. You know, they sell it as top dressing for a reason. It's a little lighter. It's not going to compact the soil. Again, and we go back to the soil compaction, but, you know, that's the time to use a top dresser. And when you do the top dressing, when it's time to do the grass seed, if you're wanting to overseed your lawn, now you don't have to overseed it every year, but if you haven't done it or want to do it, then overseeding is always a good thing, especially in combination with aerating and top dressing. But keep in mind that grass seed does not germinate, it does not grow until the nighttime temperatures are 16 degrees. For a number of days. So if you're, you know, if you're keen and you're out there, even the first week of May, if we're still, you know, have nighttime temperatures of 7, 8, 9 degrees, that grass seed's not doing anything. And you're basically feeding the birds. So so that's something, again, you know, the companies aren't going to tell you that because the more, you know, you're going to just seed again, right? And then you're going to buy more of their grass seed. So I'm sorry to dispel those myths, but please, you know, save your time, save your money, and wait until the grass seed, the temperature in our area is right up to that 16 degree mark. And again, it's nighttime temperature, because if it's nice during the day but it still cools down at night, that's just going to kill, you know, the grass isn't going to grow. So that's a really good thing. And waiting also will get more moisture into the grass, and you want that as the grass starts to grow, and that top dresser and the moisture in there, then that's really going to, once all the things line up properly, then the grass seed's just going to take off, and you're going to be really happy with the results.
And I can't wait.
Yes, I know. We want to see something green, don't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the hardest part about waiting. So.
Yeah.
All right. And so the next question is fertilizing.
Right.
And so in those order, you know, like I said, aerating, top dressing, and overseeding with grass seed. And then I'm going to say again, the temperatures for fertilizing are going to be mid to late May. I mean, really, there's no reason to rush. I know I was doing some research for the show, and, you know, they had dates on there, you know, February to April, early May fertilizing. Well, what are you fertilizing? Their grass is still sleeping, you know?
That's true.
And if you applied a fall fertilizer, you know, it's still on the lawn because it's, you know, it's slowly breaking down.
That's right.
But, you know, really all this extra
nitrogen, money and work.
And chemicals. So nitrogen is the big chemical in our fertilizers. You know, what doesn't get absorbed by the grass, it just goes into our water systems. So really, environmentally, that's, you know, another factor to really consider is doing things properly and not overdoing them so that, you know, we're just being good stewards.
Yeah, so the bottom line is for everything thus far that you discussed, the bottom line is wait a couple of more weeks. Most likely the end of April, beginning of May is probably a good time frame.
Yeah.
Last week of April, beginning of May, and then it could also be questionable depending upon how much rain we get and what the temperatures are. You never know with Mother Nature, and as you say, you want to keep those temperatures, if you're using a Celsius, folks listening around the world, 18 to 20 degrees Celsius. And that's the ideal temperature that you want to have some consistency before you start to do the fertilizing.
That's right. Now, do we need to do the conversion? Do I need my conversion app for the
Fahrenheit? Well, that's going to be, you're talking, it's going to be high 50s, low 60s.
Yes. You know,
somewhere in there, right?
Okay.
And that would work because fertilizers do work in that temperature range. But anything, as you say, below that, you're actually wasting your time and or money right now.
Yeah,
so again, end of April, beginning of May is what you want to start looking at for that.
That's right. And same with the fertilizer, too. They really, for it to be effective, for that coating to break down that's on the fertilizer, they're really looking, you know, it's on the bag. So if you don't believe me,
read
it. Right. It's on the bag. It's, you know, teeny tiny fine print. Get out your eyeglasses and read it. But temperatures, you know, and still in the range for fertilizer. My research today said, you know, 18 to 20 degrees. So really, we're not in any hurry. Enjoy your April and just the fact that you're not looking at snow. And
enjoy your Easter candy.
Yes,
why Easter not? Candy. You know,
and just the nicer, just the sweater. Hopefully we're moving towards sweater weather as opposed to, or at least our light coat weather.
Yeah.
And not to these big bulky coats. I'm dying to put my
coat away.
I have it out still because the mornings are chilly when I'm walking the dog, but I'm determined.
You know, let me ask you about that. When you walk your dog every morning or when you do, do you have a habit of, per se, looking at area where you're walking, the gardens and the grass and what they do, and you kind of, you know, think, well, that's nice, or, oh, that's not a good idea, or do you kind of do that?
I do. I mean, I'm always around my neighborhood, too, so it's the same homes and stuff, and I'll say to a neighbor, oh, you know, you really shouldn't be...
Are they acceptive of that?
You know, well, sometimes when I explain why...
Yeah.
You know, I'll say, but I had one neighbor, I don't know if she's listening, but her husband goes, oh, he's in the back raking his lawn. I said, well, didn't you see my Facebook page? You should tell him not to. She goes, he's not going to listen. He wants to do it anyway.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
what
can you do? So, you know, what can you do? People are going to do what you want to do. And I think, like you said, they want to get out. People want to have something to do. But for those of you, you know, a lot of my customers are pretty low maintenance people. And if I'm hoping that when I'm telling you it's okay, my down to earth practical advice is wait, enjoy your month of April of not having to do yard work and push it off until May and don't worry about it.
Excellent.
So I think there's people that are happy to wait. So,
yeah.
So I've got lots more to talk about today. And please, like I said, if you have any, you know, exact questions for me, please email me or give me a call.
Yeah, let me give out those numbers again. Folks, if you'd like to get on board, and our local number in the Greater Toronto Area, the GTA, our number, local number here in the studio is 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Give us a call. We will pay for that call. See that?
Yeah,
you're very generous, Joanne.
It's good to know.
You're very generous. And worldwide, a special number just for you. Contact your local operator and tell them you want to call North America. Give them this number, 1-866-656-5477. Or simply, hey, you're listening to us on a computer anyway, most of you.
How about
an email right now? realityradio101@yahoo.com.
That's right. On Twitter, I have my my iPad here. And so if you wanted to tweet me even, I'm JoanneShaw_D2E. So send me a question that way. Limited to 140 characters, of course. So so we'll pause now for a commercial break. And we'll get back to these questions and more right after that. You're listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Do you worry about your pet becoming bored at home alone or while you are at work? If you love your pets but don't have the time to walk and play with them, Corey Hamilton can help. Growing up with a never-ending passion for animals, Corey is up for any challenge to make your pet healthy, happy, and fun. With Corey's expertise, you'll never again have to worry about your pets being left home alone. Corey's company, Taking the Lead, will treat them like they are part of our family. Animal enthusiast Corey Hamilton loves anything with fur, fins, and feathers. Combined with her degree in biochemistry, your pets are not just in for some fun and play, but their needs are being well understood. Skip the guilt and let your pets enjoy their lives while you are rest assured in yours. For more information, contact Corey at 905-697-2788. That's 905-697-2788. Or visit us at www.takingthelead.ca. Remember, happy pets make a happy home. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back, folks, to the one and only Joanne Shaw, and this is Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back. I hope I answered many of your questions regarding the lawn and what not to do, what you can put off in April, you can put off till May. So that's good. I hope I made somebody's
good.
Day.
Good advice. But now we have some more questions.
Sure.
Now, once all this stuff happens, let's say we put the fertilizer down, we're getting some sunny days, some warm days. The grass is starting to grow beautifully, right?
Okay.
A lot of
that
people.
Fertilizer is working
it's
away.
It's all working, yep. And we still have some good moisture in the ground where it's mixing properly the fertilizer with water, and our root systems were developing. Here's the question that a lot of people always ask. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
How high? What is the mowing height of my lawn? What should I do? What practical advice can you give me so I don't cut it too short? Let it go too long, you know, cut it short where it burns or doesn't have a good root system. What do I do? What's a good mowing height?
I would say, I mean, I prefer the longer versus shorter because I think the it looks better personally. And you don't have to shave it. Like, I know I have some neighbors that just kind of cut it so short. Or you see it driving around. It's so short, you almost see the grass or the ground beneath it between the roots. So there's no reason to cut it that short. There's no reason to cut it every other day other than something to do.
Wow, people do that?
Yeah, You see people out there, those lawnmowers just
that's
going.
That's terrible.
So the highest setting, you can adjust that, but you can, the higher setting on your lawnmower, 3 inches or so, I think, is an optimal height. I know it helps also keep, when you think about it, the top half of your grass is shading those roots as well. It's kind of keeping your grass. If you notice when the grass is a little bit long, when you walk on it with bare feet, it's actually a little colder because, it's keeping, when you think about it, it's actually keeping those roots cool and shaded and keeping that moisture in the lawn. I find ours is longer than most of my neighbors and greener than most of my neighbors, except for right now, of course. It's fallen over and is very brown. But, so I think there's nothing wrong. Again, I'm hoping I'm helping people. I'm all about down-to-earth practical advice, like lazy gardener. You don't need to cut your grass as often.
That's good advice because there are a lot of people. It's not a golf course. It's not a green.
Right.
You don't have to do that. Yeah. And when you do cut too short, too, that's not good.
Yeah.
It doesn't promote good root systems, and if you overwater, it doesn't promote good root systems.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. You should really only water sparingly. They have a lot. You can pick up at your local nursery, usually a little water gauge. I think they say an inch a week or so. So
yeah.
Really, the lawn doesn't need as much water. Sorry, the lawn and grass do not need as much water as we think they need. And if you've done all the other things and, you're taking good care of your lawn and it's healthy, then it should be able to retain that moisture and those roots should be well established. So we're not constantly having to water.
Right.
And create shallow roots. Because a lot of times they say if you overwater, then those, the roots, same with trees, if you're watering and some other plants too, if you're constantly watering them and all the water is always at the surface, you're really not promoting good root structure and having those roots get into the ground and go looking for the moisture. So, so that's common. With a lot of different areas of gardening, overwatering is definitely a challenge for people.
So stop it.
That's right. So I think we're done with lawn. Are we done with lawn, do you think?
We are done with lawn,
I think.
I think you gave a lot of great advice, especially, as we say again, to be a little bit repetitious. This time of year is not the greatest of year to get out there with the rake and start an aeration as well. Wait to the end of the month, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Wait to the end of the month, beginning of May, before you start to contemplate to do that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's no rush. So take the pressure off yourself. Enjoy the weather in other type of ways and not to worry about getting out there. So, and I mean, we could be, again, I know our listeners are from all over and it could be the right time for you. I don't know that anybody's out there mowing yet, but you could have temperatures that have been, I know some people, their temperatures have been up for a little while. And, you're seeing your bulbs and your grass is maybe turning a little bit greener. So that's good. So I hope, even though you can adjust the time frame, from us in Southern Ontario a little bit, but I hope you still follow, the patience rule of gardening. So.
Very nice.
So as far as the other spring gardening tips I wanted to talk about today, cleaning up the garden, again, having to consider that too much walking on our wet gardens is just going to not help anything in the long run. So again, there's no rush to get out there, but when the time is right and you feel the end of April, beginning of May, that it's time, then now it's a good time to get out there and clean up all that winter interest that we left. The flower stalks, the seed heads. You can clean up all the dead hosta leaves. I know usually people are pretty anxious to get rid of those and ornamental grasses. You can cut them back. I used to say wait till the May long weekend, but really it's okay to cut them back. Just know that it will take a while for them to grow up again. So if you got grasses up for some type of a screening or something like that, then you can leave them longer. But they actually need heat in order to really get going for the most part. So you need to have patience with those. So don't, just because you've cut them back and you see nothing green, no need to dig them up. And
wow, a lot of patience
away.
Here, and we don't mean the flowers.
That's right. Those are impatience.
Impatience, sorry. So be very impatient.
Yes. I'm hoping the show isn't too early. Yeah. You know, although I think I needed to tell people about the aerating and the patience for some things. So,
I guess
we'll call this the patience episode when I post it on my website.
That's
this
good.
Week.
You know what it is, too? It's because we've had such a. Not only all over the world, but in southern Ontario and Canada, we've had such a long winter. It just went on and on and on with the snow and the cold and the cold and the snow. People see now a consistent 3, 4, 5 days that are nice.
Yes.
They want to get out there and do everything.
Yeah.
They want to do everything to take care of it so it's all set for summer. And by doing that, you can actually ruin more things than you can making it look beautiful. So.
Yeah.
Patience, folks.
Yep,
there you
patience.
Go.
And I know we're talking about Southern Ontario, but my son in Corning, New York, who's supposed to start his baseball season tomorrow, they had about a couple inches of snow.
Wow.
I know. He was showing on the weekend. So it depends on where you are and where that snow,
sure.
what side of the lake you're on. The weather is challenging.
Right.
And testing our patience, that's for sure. That's for sure. So now we're kind of borderline. I don't know if you've heard of dormant oil or if you're concerned about if you've got anything. Let's say last year you're wondering what's eating that plant or does it look like a little bit of scale that's on my euonymus or my roses. You know, if there's any shrubs and trees in your yard that you were worried about insect damage, if you have a free yard. Then you can use, we're close, I think probably this week might be the last week we can do it, but dormant oil. So you can use a dormant spray. It's a kit that you buy, and that helps kill and smother all those insects that kind of overwintered. Hard to believe that anything would have survived that winter, but some of the hard shell insects do.
Wow.
And they'll be back attacking your trees and shrubs this spring. So
I'll be back.
Yeah, that's right. So you might want to pop into your local nursery and pick up a dormant spray kit. And it's very dependent on temperatures and rain or wind. And but it needs to be done before leaf buds start to swell or there's any type of green because, you know, you don't want to smother the plant. You're really looking for the insect. So that is one product. It is environmentally friendly, and it's really meant to be, you know, a preventative treatment to smother the insects, to smother their eggs on certain plants. But definitely, again, read the labels because there's some plants that, and especially evergreens, that you shouldn't use dormant spray on.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
That's something to think about. And again, like I said, it's always a short window. So I know I wrote about it, I think, in my March newsletter to go out and get your kit so that once the temperatures were right, you were ready to do it. So hopefully my listeners. And that's something I'd like to touch base on now, too. If you want advice, I do a monthly newsletter to my customers or to my listeners.
To your fans.
To my fans,
right.
To anybody who wants to know. But really, I try to keep it, again, going with my theme of down-to-earth practical advice. I don't bombard you with tons of emails. It's just one monthly email letting you know what to do in the garden now. That really helps because I find over and over again, low maintenance is one of the big things that customers tell me.
And let me just add something to that.
Sure.
Folks listening, that newsletter is just a source of valuable information. Think about it. You're getting that information. That's free, Joanne?
Yes,
is that free?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's absolutely free where you can consider Joanne a professional consultant to you. Let's say Joanne was not putting out an email such as that. And sure, there is information online, but a lot of people have hired a lot of professional horticulturalists and gardeners and things to get information like this, and they have to pay. The bottom line is this is free advice. It's good advice. It's professional advice. So take advantage of that newsletter. And how do they sign up for that, Joanne?
My website at www.downtoearth.ca, the number two. Right on my home screen there, there's a little clip, and you just sign up for the newsletter. In exchange for doing that, you also get something I put together, is called a seasonal tips guide. So I'm giving you some of those tips today, but we've got several seasons coming up. So
and when's the book coming out?
I don't know about a book, Gary. I know you've mentioned that before, but
you have to do the book.
We'll see. We'll see. But okay. For now, I'm happy to share the tips, and I'm happy, and I really try to make it pertinent to what's happening in the garden now. What my customers are saying, what, like you said, when I'm walking in the neighborhood and I'm seeing what's happening, I really try to make the information relevant and timely. Some of the stuff I read about in social media, the other articles I read, the other experts I follow, I really try to share as much information as I can. So and that helps you. So you don't have to do all the research. I'm doing it for you.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Now,
so.
We are going to touch upon pruning.
We are, yes. That's once the gardens are safe to walk on, then pruning is really one of the other important things that people want to do to kind of tidy up their yards. And whether you do it yourself or whether you hire someone to do your pruning for you, again, I mean, you shouldn't be out there every weekend, right? This is just a spring cleanup where you've got to look after a few of your shrubs. If the plants are in the right spot, you know, I say, when people say to me they want a low maintenance garden, I say to them, then you need to plant the right plant in the right spot and it'll take care of itself. And you're not having to baby it, stake it, water it, spoil it, anything. Really, it comes down to the right plant in the right spot. So pruning. Now is the time if you've got some summer things that bloom in the summer, like weigelia, puntilla, spirea, hydrangea, and even roses. I know.
Say those again.
Did you like those? So these are all shrubs that are pretty common, and they don't bloom until midsummer. So you're looking at, you know, end of June, July, August type of thing. But if you didn't, so I kind of promote people not to cut them back in the fall because I think all those seed heads look pretty. That some of them have food for birds, that type of thing. So leave them without cutting them back in the fall. But now you can cut them in the spring. And they still will flower this summer. So some people, I think, they're never sure when they should cut them and when they shouldn't cut them. So if they flower in the summer, then it's all right to cut them in the spring to prune them.
Very nice. Wow.
So now I want to define pruning. So pruning does not mean...
Yeah, so before you overdo that, right.
Well...
Because everybody, I'm glad you're going to do that. I'm not going to say what I want to say, but when people prune, they sometimes, what you would call, over-prune, correct?
Yes, or under-prune.
Okay, so let's hear what that is now.
Well, pruning, I would say over pruning would be what I would call, you know, cutting right back to the ground. And in some cases, some plants, that's okay sometimes. But the under pruning are the people that just kind of shaping or pruning their shrubs into balls or mushrooms.
Right, I saw that
nice,
in your
nice
notes.
Nice little round shrubs is the way to prune it. So really... we want a more of a natural look, and I think burning bush, one of my, you know, it's a good shrub and it's a pretty common one. Everybody knows about it, but if you've ever looked at it in the summer when it's full of leaf and you've actually opened it up inside and looked in, it's completely dead. There's nothing inside. It's just kind of like it's outside. All the leaves are on the outside of it, and there's no growth on the inside. And that's what happens when we just trim all the outside branches and tips off of our plants. So what I recommend is that in addition to, you know, cutting it back to that type, you would then go inside the shrub. And again, I know we're on radio and not TV, but you would go inside that shrub, and then I would say take a third of those branches that you have in that shrub and cut them back shorter than the outside branches. So, you know, you're really cutting them all at different lengths because pruning actually encourages growth. Did you know that?
I knew that.
Did you know that?
But a lot of people may not. They think you're cutting down a shrub or making it smaller,
slow it down control it, right? But really, we are encouraging growth, but we want to encourage growth in the right spots. So I think that's a really important thing to consider. So you really, and I've got some, again, with my seasonal tips guides and my newsletter, I actually put out diagrams that kind of show you how to, you know, the good way and the bad way and how to prune and where to cut.
And so, this is all free of charge. I want to stress that, folks. Yes. Folks listening, if you want great professional advice, you don't have to go to the store and buy a book. Think about what I just said. You don't have to buy a book. Joanne is giving you this great professional advice free of charge. And how, again, do they get that free advice?
Sure, from my website, Gary, at downtoearth.ca, the number 2. So please, you know, really consider it. I mean, I do put tips and tricks on my Facebook page and in Twitter, so you can always ask me something there. But I think you really get really helpful advice by subscribing to the newsletter. So please check it out. So again, just to cover that, so you can cut back. So if we're looking at Weigelia, you can cut it back to the height, you know, to the size, a little bit more compact than what it is. And then take a third of those branches a little bit shorter. And that will keep, and same with like burning bush is a perfect example. You know, people almost want to do the hedge trimmer thing to them and kind of shape them all on the outside. But you want to cut it back in size, but then you also want to go inside and prune it and cut those stems back a little harder. And that'll encourage some new growth and just a more natural shape as well.
Cool.
So we were not, the designer in me says we can't have a whole garden full of mushrooms and balls in our gardens. So.
Very nice. We do have an email for you.
Okay.
And Matthew writes in and he says, there's a couple of questions. So he starts off and he says, what do you see as new trends for landscaping in residential projects? That's number one.
Okay.
And do you plan to implement any in your designs for the season for your clients? That's number two.
Okay.
And he just goes on to say, I've seen landscapers out installing interlock brick already this season. When do you think projects such as patios, tree plantings, gardens should start in this season, as I believe that it's kind of too early to start right now?
Yeah.
So would you agree with that, with Matthew writing in?
I do. Yeah, I do agree with that. Just like we need to wait for our lawns and our gardens, you also need to wait for the ground to warm up and the frost to be out of the ground. Because the biggest threat to, you mean, landscaping and patios and hardscaping is, it's a lot of money. And you
Absolutely.
Want it to be done properly. Yep. And I think the most important part of that is the base and the ground. So if and the damage that, you know, there are freeze and thaw does to those things. So
Absolutely.
It definitely is too early. We really need that frost to be out of the ground and things to dry up. And there's rain coming, too. So anything that's any work and any new base that gets laid is now going to be...
Could wash away some of that and
not,
everything. I mean, it's common sense, right? You don't want it to erode, right? You're putting that stuff down. But back to the first part of his question as well. You know, he says, what do you see are new trends for landscaping in residential projects, not commercial, residential?
Okay.
And then if you see any new trends, do you plan to implement any of those new trends in anything that you do for your clients this season?
Yeah, that it's we'll come back to the pruning, but definitely as far as trends go, Canada Blooms, I visited a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I mentioned it. And I would say definitely a more linear look to the yards is definitely a big theme right now, as well as the brick companies. I attended in the off season, I attended a lot of different shows with Unilock and Teco, and there's a couple others, Permacon. They're the brick manufacturers, and they put on shows for the contractors and seminars for the contractors and designers. So they've really come out with a lot of new stone that's much more linear, much more modern looking. It almost reminds me of, have you seen some of those backsplashes? You know, the modern backsplashes with the little rectangular stones. So
they're really,
you know, definitely moving to more of a linear way. So it's not right for everybody, but I think there's definitely some yards that going more of a linear versus a curve design will be better. So
Very nice.
And I've done one major design so far this year, that's out for quotes, and it is definitely much more linear, much more square, square cut. So yeah, so I think that is one of the biggest trends. And some of the other trends are the walls. There's lots of different wall features out there that have different types of stone. So I'm looking more, there actually is the prefab stone, but actually looks more like natural stone. So I think it'd be nice to add some more, you know, just walls for design features in gardens, not necessarily, you know, for structure or for retaining, but just to be able to put a few little walls here and there, just to add something nice and interesting to the front yards. And almost a little bit move away from, you know, a couple of years ago, in the last few years, I've been putting lots of large rocks, natural rocks in the garden. And I think moving towards doing some stonework is, you know, just something to change it up a little bit. So,
very nice. Thank you, Matthew, for those questions. We really appreciate that.
And so I think it's time for another commercial break.
It is time.
It is. So we'll pause there and we'll get back to pruning in just a moment. But thank you for listening, and we will be right back. You're listening to Reality Radio 101.
And we'll be
right back.
Yeah, I guess we will be.
Yeah,
all
thank
right.
you.
Are you looking for that very unique and personal gift? Then look no further. At Pamper Me Organically, we have that very special gift for that very special person in your life. Pamper Me Organically is a Canadian-owned and operated company that specializes and sells organic bath and beauty products. Come in and visit us locally in the Pickering Village Courtyard in Pickering, Ontario. Or visit our website at www.pampermeorganically.com. We ship worldwide for all of your online purchases. Call us at 416-629-1952. That's 416-629-1952. Remember, at Pamper Me Organically, we never sell any product that contains harmful chemicals, fragrances, colorants, or animal ingredients. We are Pamper Me Organically, where you always get great products at a great price. Do you have an electrical problem or an electrical service that needs attention, but you just do not know who to call? Relax, we have the answer just for you. Fusion Electrical Services is a professional, licensed, and accredited electrical company that provides excellent sales, service, and advice to you, their cherished customer. At Fusion Electrical Services, we provide all electrical services that deal with residential, industrial, and commercial concerns, from a simple home outlet to hot tubs and pools, ceiling fans, control systems, panel changes, bathroom and kitchen wiring services, and a whole lot more. If you do not know who to call for your electrical concern, please call Dave Wilson at 905-999-5471. That's 905-999-5471. Call Dave today and have your electrical concerns be gone tomorrow. Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne right now, RealityRadio101 at yahoo.com. And now, back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. And today, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about spring tips with me, just me. So we were talking about pruning, and I was talking about summer flowering shrubs and how it is now the time to, or shortly in May, will be the time to prune them. But I do want to highlight the fact that if your shrubs, if you don't know what it is, then usually I would leave it alone. If you've just moved to a new house, you're not sure what it is, either find out what it is before pruning or wait. Because if it is a spring flowering shrub, if it's something that's going to bloom in early spring or May and June, then it's best not to prune it. So things like lilacs, things like forsythia, those are things that are best left alone. And then right after it blooms in the spring, then you can go ahead and prune them. So that is something to, yeah, so that's just something to consider. I know I've had that before where I'm at someone's house for something and they'll say, oh, I love my lilac, but, you know, it hasn't bloomed the last couple of years. And it's like, well, have you been, pruning it? And they say, oh, yeah, every fall or every, winter, we've been cutting it back and we're trying to get it to grow. So really lilacs are finicky that way, and they right after they flower, they set their buds for the flowers for next year. So you really have to be careful. So cutting them back hard.
And that's good advice by Dr. Joanne.
Yes. Yeah. So that is one of my other important things to talk about. Also, evergreens. It's important. Things like boxwoods. Right now in the early spring, you don't need to really go crazy pruning, but if there's some, broken damage from, we didn't get a lot of ice this year like we did last year, so it shouldn't be as much ice damage. And I know last year, I think people, when they saw their boxwood going brown and they thought, they kept waiting all summer, oh, it's going to get green again. It's going to go green again. And it really isn't. The salt and the ice really damaged it. So if you have some, broken pieces, if you've got like a boxwood hedge, and your branches are starting to be broken, then it's better to go and give them a nice clean cut and shape that and get rid of that. Anything that the winter kill, winter dieback, winter kill from your evergreens, and improve the shape. You'll be much happier, once the season gets going. And that it'll grow in again and will fill in for the most part. So, all right.
Great advice again,
yes,
folks.
Yes, yep. So trying to, there's a little bit of work to do, but I'm trying to keep it to a minimum as much as possible. So
you are all about what?
Down to earth or low maintenance.
Low maintenance. That's right.
Thank you. So another popular question I get asked is, can I prune my hydrangeas? And I did mention that, that they do fall under the summer flowering shrubs. So, yes, you can prune them in the spring. And it really depends on which variety you have. So this is one of my favorite subjects to talk about as we wrap up. And I can't believe how fast time went. I didn't think I could.
Yeah.
I know. It was just me today. What's happened?
It's always, you could take one page of information that you want to give your listeners.
Yes.
And not dwell on topics, but one page of information would fill up an hour.
Yeah.
If you did it right. And yeah, you are very thorough, and people are getting a lot of information right now. This is a critical time for gardening at the beginning of spring, as you say, when everybody wants to get out there. And it's a critical time to give them the advice that you're giving them. So, yeah, by all means.
Yeah, so my favorite is hydrangeas. So they are one of my favorite shrubs, and there's different ones. So I know myself, I have, I have a whole bunch of different varieties, but my favorite is Limelight. And my Limelight are getting a little too big. So now is the time to control their height. So I want to keep them around that 4 or 5 foot, not quite 6 feet height. So now is the time to get out there. So even though I'm going to do it carefully, I can kind of reach from my walkway so I don't have to really walk through my garden. But I'm going to cut them back And shape them a little bit. And then I'm going to cut the branches a third of the way down, because you need to get some growth coming in from the base. So definitely with your limelight hydrangeas, if you're wanting to control the height, then now is the time, early spring, to get out there and do that. Now, Annabelle hydrangeas are another favorite, and they tend to have more of a reputation of being very floppy and very messy. So there's some people that, you know, say to me, oh, I don't want that messy one, the white snowballs that flop over. Well, really, those are the people that tend to cut them right back to the ground every year. And what happens is those stems are too weak to support those flowers. So really, the goal is, the plan is not to cut them back. If you want to cut a third of them down to encourage some new growth, but leaving two-thirds of those branches to thicken up and to strengthen, especially in the outside of the plant, then really it's learning, you're creating your own peony cage. You know, you don't have to go buy a peony cage, which, by the way, looks silly. Your shrubs will support themselves. So please, if you're about to go out there and cut your Annabelles right down to the ground, yes, if you do, they still will bloom. Everybody goes, oh, I do it every year, and they come back and they bloom every year. Well, you don't need to do it. And even if you don't, if you just deadhead the old blooms that you've left up in the winter and cut some of the stems down, you will still get blooms this year. So please resist the urge to cut them all the way back to the ground. And Endless Summer, which I've been putting in a lot of gardens over the past few years, and I myself am just having a heck of a time growing them. So if you're successful, please let me know how you're being successful. They are meant to grow on new and old wood, so you shouldn't need to cut them back all the way. You should leave some of that old wood up. So depending on where you are and how much snow cover you get, depends on your success with these. So, you know, again, light deadheading, but you should not have to cut them all the way back down to the ground. You might have, you know, some little unsightly stems sticking up from the shrub for the first little while, but, you know, leave them, and new growth will come off of that old wood. So again, Endless Summer hydrangeas are meant to grow on old wood as well as the new wood that's coming up from the base of the plant. So really got technical today on hydrangeas and pruning. I think we could probably do a whole show on just hydrangeas. So again, if you've got more questions for me, please sign up for my newsletter. April's just came out last
week.
Which
is free of charge?
Free of charge, Gary.
Right.
April's came out last week, which you could still receive, as well as working on May for all these things that we can now start doing in the garden, since I told you in April to stay out of the garden. So,
right.
So
tell
please
them to stay out.
Yep. Downtoearth.ca. Please go ahead and follow me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm out there. So please, and now is the time also, before we go and before the next show starts, I do want to talk about booking a consultation or a design. Contractors are booking up. For the most part, calling a contractor now means you're looking at a late summer install at the earliest.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that
several
times. Yeah, you know, now's not the time.
Well, if you're wanting in August, you know, September, end of July, August, September, you know, installation, then now's the time to call. But if you wanted to be installed in May or June, then you missed the boat. You can call now for being installed in May and June next year. But it is the time. While I was sitting here, I actually got an email from someone looking for a consultation. So now is the time to get a landscape design, a plan, a consultation. Find out what you need. You know, it's for smaller jobs. If you're just looking for a little garden here and there or some changes, I can definitely find a contractor for you. But if you're looking for a major install, then definitely we need to start planning it, and we need to get you in queue with a contractor. So please, great landscape, start with a great plan.
Good model.
And now's the time to call. So thank you very much for listening. I know we've gone late. And
that's okay. We're here.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Next week, we have Steve Lawrence back about the bees.
Very nice.
Yes. So he's kind of back and joining us, and I'm really looking forward to, I want to talk to him about a day in the life of a beekeeper and much, much more. So thank you for listening and enjoying Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.